here today. I'm going to encourage you to open up your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And I've titled the sermon, the teaching this morning, A Blessing for Life. A Blessing for Life. I greet all the visitors that are here today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. If you do not have a place where you call your home of worship, we invite you then to join us here at ECC. We are not a perfect church, but we serve a perfect God that embraces imperfect people. So for that, we're so thankful. So if that fits you, we welcome you to ECC this morning. I greet Brandon, who is a young man that we know for many years. Nice to see you, Brandon, a friend of our family. A Blessing for Life, 2 Kings chapter 4. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elijah said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into the jars as each is filled. Put it to one side." She left him, shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went out and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." You and your sons can live on what is left. A blessing for life. Father, as we gather this morning, Lord God, and we're reminded of the teaching this morning, I pray that it would resonate within us today, Lord God, that it would draw us closer to your perfect will, that it would remind us that our encounter with you, Lord God, is not just for the present, Lord, but it's for life. I pray this morning that this word would stir in our hearts and it would stay there, Lord God, and at the opportune moment, it will harvest a fruit for our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. A blessing for life. Many are looking for a quick fix gospel. Many are looking for people to come in and have God help them for the moment, right? Help them in their present time. Help me out of my current situation. But God is not just looking to help us out of our current situation. God is looking to help us for life. He rescues us to place purpose in our lives. God is about vision, and vision has everything to do with the future and not the present. So God does something wonderful within us to prepare us for something in the future. And God has reached each and every one of us, yes, to remind us that he is sufficient enough for us in our current time, but to remind us that he wants to lead us through life. And as the widow approached the prophet with this problem, she learns this, that God just wasn't going to help her pay her debt, but he was going to supply enough for her and that her and her sons would be able to live for life on that blessing. And this is the story of the gospel. This is what Christ is about. You know, I love the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda, right? 38 years he was crippled. 38 years he was paralyzed. Paralyzed for 38 years, laying or waiting for somebody that would throw him into the waters, because they believed that if the water stirred, the first one in there would receive a miracle. And Jesus gets to him and asks him, "Do you want to be well?" And he says, "Yes, I want to be well." And at the moment, the Lord tells him, Jesus tells him, "Get up, take up your mat and walk." But my favorite part of this story is not the miracle. It's what happens later on that day. The Bible teaches us that later that day, Jesus finds him in the temple and says, "Oh, look, you are well." I've talked about this story because I love it. He says, "Look, you are well." In other words, man, you are not paralyzed no more. But Jesus tells him something that's very impactful. He says, go and sin no more so that something worse will not happen to you. Jesus allowed the miracle in his life, but it wasn't just for the present. It was for the future as well. And the church says, we see that in scripture, right? We see that also the woman caught in adultery, right? These men want to stone her. They want to stone her. There's a whole theology behind this. Some believe that these men were guilty and they wanted to stone this woman. And she gets there and Jesus is writing on the floor and they're ready to kill her by stoning her. And Jesus says, anyone of you who have not sinned, throw the first stone. And the Bible says that one at a time, starting with the elders. Interesting. They all left. And then Jesus looks at her and says, hey, where are those who condemn you? And she says, they're no more. And Jesus says, nor do I condemn you. Hear the word, though. He says, so now go and sin no more. So he wasn't looking just to rescue her the moment, the present. He was looking to set her course in a life that will bless her forever. A blessing for life. We can continue to show you stories of Jesus. And one of my favorite, Luke chapter 5, the calling of Peter and the disciples. After the catch of fish, Peter gets to Jesus and tells him, apart from me, I'm a sinful man. The Bible says that Jesus looked at him and says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. In other words, this whole catch, this whole miracle is only to enhance your faith, to remind you in future times, I was able to do this for you in the present because I got something for you in the future. And the Bible says that they left everything at the shore and followed Jesus. They left a whole net full of fish at the shore and they followed Jesus. See, our encounter with Christ has more to do about our future than even our present. It has more to do with what he wants to do with us and through us. So he gives us an opportunity to have an encounter with his power and with his grace so that we can know and understand that he is going to do something mighty through our lives. So as we look back at our reading, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, we see here that we have this widow, a woman who her husband had died. He was a prophet under Elijah from the school of the prophets. And she goes to him and she says, hey, my husband left a debt. And in those times, it was almost like the main prophet was like the kinsman redeemer. He was the one that would care for them. And she comes to him and says, hey, man, I am in trouble. My husband left a debt and they're coming after my boys. And the prophet says, what can I do for you? How can I help you? What do you have in your home? And she says, I got a little bit of oil. And he says, well, go to your neighbors, round up all the vessels that you can. And I love that he says, not a little, you know, as much as you can. And I love that he tells her, and then lock yourself up, close the door behind you, you and your boys, because what God does in our lives, how many know, will impact our children as well. And they will remember. They will remember the mighty hand of God. Our children and our family members and our church people will remember the mighty hand of God. They'll remember how God had supplied. It just wasn't for her, but it was a blessing for life. It would be passed on from one generation to another generation. And he tells her, fill these vessels up. And she does as the prophet said. And she tells the son, hey, pass me another. And the son says, there's no more. The Bible says the oil stopped. You know the story. She goes to the prophet and she said, I got a house full of jars of oil. And he says, all right, this is what we're going to do now. Sell them. Pay your debt and live off the rest. So the encounter was a blessing for life, not just to rescue the moment, but to set you up for life. This is what the gospel is about. It's about an encounter with Jesus to help us in our time of need. In fact, God allows things in our lives so that we can see his power, we can see his might, we can see his mighty hand, so that we can trust him through life. If he supplied for us, then he'll supply for us through life. If he led us, then he'll lead us through life. So God is interested in not just our present, but very much in our future. What can we learn then from this story? Three simple observations that we can learn from this story that I believe will help us always to remember this. Always to remember this. The first one is, we need a divine word to lead us through life. We need a divine word to lead us through life. No philosophy is not enough. Seven habits to leadership is not enough. No. We need a divine word. She went to the prophet, and the prophet gave her a word from the Lord, a divine word for her, something that was particular to her, particular to her need. He knew what she needed. She knew that he had a connection to God. Back in those days, you heard from God through the prophet, and the prophet speaks. In those days, the people would go looking for the prophet of God for a divine word, and God would speak to them. She needed a divine word, and that divine word not only helped her moment, but helped her through life. We need a divine word to lead us through life. Today, we get our divine word from God's word, from the Bible. It is the inspired word of God. Let us remember, it is not just a historical book written over 1,500 years by 40 authors. No, it is God's divine word. It is inspired by the Lord, and it has been given to us to lead us and guide us, to reprimand us, to help us to get right, to help us to stay right. It is the way that God speaks to our lives. It is his divine word. I get afraid sometimes that we've become so institutionalized that we just see it as a good religious book. We see it as a good historical book, but it is the breath of God. It is the pneuma of God. It is the logos of God. It speaks to our lives, and it brings us direction. It is God's divine word, not just to rescue us from the moment, but to lead us through life. Jesus said this, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show him what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundations on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream broke against the house, it could not shake it because it had been well built." It had been built upon what? Upon the word of the Lord, on a divine word. Could it be that we don't handle storms well? Because we don't have a divine word in our lives. Could it be that our house has been in ruin? If you continue to read this word, you'll see that the next part of this parable is the man who did not build his house upon the rock, who did not take heed to the word. It finishes off saying, and his house was in great ruin. Could it be that we have lost it because we have been led by our own will, by our own sentiment, by what we think is right, and we have not let a divine word lead our house? The psalmist said it right when he said, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The psalmist said it right when he said, this is God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever. Psalm 48:14. The psalmist said it right when he said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the ways of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season, and his leaf does not wither. In all that he does," he prospers. In all that he does. The man that has trust the word of God. That's why here in our church, we constantly encourage the church to position itself to hear from God. Position yourself to hear from God. If we're just waiting for a good Sunday sermon, we're in trouble. We must position ourselves to hear from God every day in our lives, to be sensitive to what he wants to do, to be intentional in asking God, "God, speak to my heart." Intentional in asking God, "God, speak to my heart." So I always encourage you to read your scriptures. Don't open up the Bible and try to knock out the 66 books in 9 months. You know, that's just not really getting it. I want to encourage you to take a small portion of scripture out, a parable, a story. The Bible today helps us. Back in the days, they did so much work for us where they even break it up for us so we can read stories and parables and teachings and read those things 2, 3, 4, 5 times is what hermeneutics says. And then ask God, "God, what are you telling me here? What is it that you're teaching me? I love to read the parables of Jesus. I love it. And then I just stop, and sometimes there are only 2-3 verses, and I start asking God, what do you want to tell me here? And then I just write those things down, and I look at the story, and I write, and I look at the story, and I write, and I look at the story, and I write. And you, sermons have come from there, as you probably can see already, but not only that, before we teach or preach a sermon, it's something that's so applicable to my life. It leads us and helps us through life. Be intentional that you can hear a divine word. I don't know if that means anything to you. A divine word, a word from God for me, particular to my need, particular to my home. Read God's word, meditate on it. Allow the sermons to speak to you. Allow the teachings to speak to you. Oh, our small groups, our connect groups, allow that opportunity for God to speak to you. Our Sunday school classes, allow that opportunity. It's not about knowledge. There's so many people that have a lot of knowledge. El doctor fulano de tal, you know? A lot of people have so much knowledge, but if there's no application, it's all in vain. It's all in vain. It's like just dead grass that the wind comes and blows it away. It's got no value. I want to encourage you today. Position yourself. Allow God to speak to you. And if you're never in a class, you know, you're not positioning yourself. I want to encourage you today and age. There are so many wonderful teachers that we can hear on YouTube and podcast and all those wonderful things. Be intentional. And let the Lord speak to you. We need a divine word in our lives. Not just for the moment, but it's a blessing for life. Not just for the moment. You know, and the truth is, there's some people that just wait for the moment. And they start seeking God. God, God, speak to me. I would encourage you, this whole concept of spiritual maturity. What is that? What is spiritual maturity, right? Because we always talk about spiritual maturity. In fact, if you read your Bible, use the word perfection, which really means maturity, right? And what does that mean? It means to prepare yourself. It means to know how to handle things before they even come to you. That's what spiritual maturity is all about. It has nothing to do with a reaction, but it has everything to do with preparation. And I think that many of us, We're a generation of reacting always. Oh man, I need help now. Well, how about maturity? How about continually positioning ourselves to hear from God? And some of the things that God is going to speak into our heart has nothing to do with our present, but everything to do with our future. And He's preparing us for a blessing of life. So I want to encourage you. If we want to enjoy a blessing for life, it begins with a divine word. The widow knew, let me go to the prophet. He will tell me what to do. And the church says. So we're talking about a blessing for life. How do we obtain that? We need a divine word to lead us through life. Number two, God has put others around us to help us through life. God has put others around us to help us through life. Her neighbors gave her all the empties that she needed. Without her neighbors, she could never have had that experience. Her neighbors gave her what she needed. God knows exactly what you need, and He has put those around you to help you with your needs for life. Isn't that an awesome thing? He knows what family you need to be a part of, and He's put you in this family. He knows what mom and dad you've needed, what spouse you've needed, what children you have needed. He knows what neighbors you have needed, what co-workers you have needed, what cousins you have needed, what siblings you have needed. He knows the church that you needed. How many say amen? Oh my God, I thought I was going to get a bigger amen out of you guys. Right? He knew. He knows what we needed. The Lord has positioned us in a place where we can enjoy the blessing for life. See, this widow knew that she needed to go to her neighbors because the prophet had told her, go to your neighbors, they're going to help you. They're going to give you all the empties that you need, and you're going to be able to fill those empties, right? As the widow's neighbors helped her, the people that God has allowed around us will help us through life. I want to remind you this morning that isolation is bad. Isolation is bad. When we find ourselves in isolation, it's because we probably have done some wrong things, or we're running from some things, or we're not sure how to handle some current things. Isolation is bad. We never find help in isolation. Sometimes, we find ourselves surrounded by the wrong people. But I want to encourage you this morning to come to understand and discern that God has positioned you in a place to hear from the right people in your life. It's time to evaluate ourselves and notice, in my low times, where have I been? Who has been around me? And in my high times, where have I been and who has been around me? The Lord has put people around us to help us in life. So that's why I want to encourage you. Maybe you make a bad choice in your life. It's not time to run, and it's not time to isolate yourself. It's time for you to surround yourself with godly men, godly women, godly couples, godly young people, godly young adults, people that can help us come together and learn and grow and understand that there's no one that's perfect. Isolation is never good. If you feel that you have failed, well, it's time to gather with the church then. Don't stop coming to church because you're not doing well. On the contrary, I think in our lowest moments, we need to get to church. We need to get to Sunday school. We need to be intentional in making sure that we're surrounding ourselves with the people that God has called us. I want to encourage you also to get involved in the ministry. Right? We have this great event on the 30th. It's going to be a wonderful outreach. Maybe you're interested in that event to help see Pastor Minor afterwards. You can go to his office. He'll be there. He'll write your name down. We need people to help us in all sorts of ministries. Betsy Lee will be closing the church, and she'll be talking about the ministry of greeters. We need help there. Get involved somewhere. Be intentional in knowing this. Why? Because God has put you somewhere so that people can be surrounded in your life that will help you in your time of trouble. I want to encourage you, stay after church for lunch. Eat lunch in the back with the people. Not only will you financially support the ministry, but you'll have a time of fellowship as well. I want to encourage you, go to Sunday school. Next month, we start our Bible Institute, and our small groups gather all over again. Be a part of that. Stay with the right people, because God has been intentional. To enjoy the blessing of life is to understand that God has positioned us at the right place with his divine word, but with the right people in our lives. This is affirmed in the Bible, where the Bible says, iron sharpens iron, like one man sharpens another. James says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power, and it is working. It availeth much. Don't be afraid to say, I need help. Don't be afraid to call people together and say, hey, man, would you keep an eye on me? Don't be afraid to say, I'm not doing well right now, and God has put you in my life to help us. And I want to remind you this morning that God has positioned you not just to receive help in your time of need, but God has put people around you that need you as well. That need you as well. I get concerned that there are so many wonderful, mature, gifted people in our church, and Sunday comes and it's 11:40 and they're out that door, and I'll see you next Sunday. I want to tell you that God has put people around you that need you. I want to tell you that you work where you work because those people need you. I want to tell you that your neighbors need you. I want to tell you that your family members, they need you. God has positioned you there not only because you need them, but because they need you. You know that person in your family that nobody wants to deal with? That person needs you. You know that coworker in your job that everyone shuns? That person needs you. You know that neighbor that no one wants to talk to, that seems a little weird? That person needs you. Let us be reminded that we have been positioned in a place, not just because we need those around us, but those around us also need us. Let us be reminded that we've been positioned in a place where God knew exactly who would be around us, and he was intentional in giving us our last names, in giving us our culture, in giving us our language, in positioning us in this city, in this town, in this borough. He was intentional because he knew what he wanted to do for us and through us. And this is the blessing for life. So if we want a blessing for life, we must remember that we need a divine word, and we must remember that God was intentional in putting those around us. The third observation, obedience in our walk of faith will help us through life. Obedience in our walk of faith will help us through life. The widow did exactly what she was told, and it supplied her current need as well as the need of her children. And it supplied their need for life. She did what she was told. She could have said, "What do you want me to do with empty vessels? What the heck am I going to do with a house full of empty vessels?" But she was obedient to what God was doing in her life. She was obedient to the word of the prophet. If we are faithful to God's word, if we are faithful to God's command, we will see God's blessing through life. Obedience is the hardest cross for the Christian. You know, because we're fix-it-all God believers at times. We just come to God for that need. But God wants to show us and lead us through life. And that's what it means to live by faith and not by sight. And that's what it means to be submissive and to subject ourselves to the will of God. That is what it is to understand that before Christ, we were slaves to sin and he redeemed us. He bought us out of slavery, right? And now we are what? Slaves to righteousness. Slaves to his will. To understand that he is now our Father. He is now our Master. To understand that he has called us for a life of obedience. The Bible says this in Jeremiah, "But his command I gave you, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the way that I commanded you, that it may be well with you." I love that. It will go well with you if you're faithful to the things that I have commanded you. James tells us to be doers of God's word and not hearers. Could we come to the place in our lives that we love Jesus so much? Love Jesus so much to say, "Lord, just tell me how to live and I'll do it." Could we come to the place in our lives where it's not rules and regulations that we subject ourselves to like soldiers, but that we've come to the place of gratitude and to admonish God and to be in awe of his presence, to be in awe of his beauty, to recognize who he is and what he has done for us, and to say, "God, because of who you are, I simply say, tell me how to live and I will do it." In total submission to his will. So we're challenged today to do what is right. And I've said this before. Sometimes we don't know what is right. How do we live? How is that practical? How do we contextualize it for us today? Well, do what you know is right. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't manipulate, don't steal, don't gossip. Don't hurt someone. Do what you know is right. Don't use words that are ungodly. All right? Be careful the way we treat one another. If we could just handle these things, it will help us through the blessing of life. You know, that we would remember not to be jealous, not to covet, to be content with what we have, to understand that God knows best for us and he has placed us in places and times, and to be obedient just because he has said it, to be grateful and faithful, understanding God has been intentional with us and he has positioned us here. Jesus said these words, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." John 13:17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. As I conclude our teaching this morning, I want to remind you, Jesus' encounter with the man paralyzed for 38 years wasn't just to rescue him from being paralyzed. It was to tell him, "Go and sin no more," to change his life. Yes, the adulterous woman, "I no longer condemn you," he says. "Go and sin no more." It wasn't just to rescue her at that moment. No, it was to change her life. The call of the disciples, it wasn't about to catch a fish. It was about to let them know, "I'm about to change your future. It's a blessing for life." To this widow, the prophet gives a divine word, reminds her that she needed the people around her, and challenged her to be obedient. And not only rescued her from her current need, but she was able to sell enough oil and live on the rest of it. What's impactful to me is that as I meditate on this story, we know nothing of her boys. The story ends here. Know nothing of her boys. But I bet that those boys told that story everywhere they went. I bet that those boys build their faith on that story. God did it for my mom. I was a part of it. I saw those vessels filled. It was when I said, we got no more, is when the oil stopped. You see, our walk with God and our experience with God is not just for the present, but it's a blessing for life. That the way that we live, we understand this. This is why as parents, as leaders, we understand that we try our best to live a life to show our children, to show this next generation of believers in the church. Hey, we're not an institution. We're not a gathering. This is not a fellowship. No, we are the church, the body of Christ. And this is real. And God is a moving God. And He moves with power. And He moves with might. Why? Because we want to teach them a blessing for life. You know? That we would give them our all of faith, in faith. And that our ceiling would be their floor. That our 10 would be their 1. That we would give them all in life. Show them all what it is to live for God. And that our ceiling would be their floor. Even as a church, and we do ministry here, and as we're building and expanding, we think not just the present, but when we hand this off to the next generation, when I say we, I'm not talking about me, and I'm talking about our generation, to the next generation, that we would hand this off in such a way that our ceiling would be their floor, that they could do so much more. It's a blessing for life. I want to encourage you this morning. Yes, we come to God because we're needy. We're broken. We need God. He's the only one that can help us through our current needs. But I remind you today that He just wants to show us His power. He just wants to show that paralyzed man, I'm enough for your situation. That adulterous woman, I don't condemn you. To the disciples, I got a plan with your life. And He shows them His power. He showed this widow His power. But it wasn't just for the moment. It was a blessing for life. And the church says, I want to invite you to stand this morning. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the teaching of Your word. It resonates with us, Lord God. It lands in our hearts because we know the truth behind it. Help us, O Lord, always to remember that what we need for a blessing in life is a divine word. Philosophy won't do it. Tradition is not enough. Lord, we need a divine word to lead us through life. Let us be reminded this morning, O Lord God, that You have been intentional in where You have positioned us. Because there's people around us that will help us, and there's people around us that need our help for a blessing in life. Let us be reminded, O God, that there is an act on our behalf, that we just can't expect You to do it all. There is an act of obedience. There's an act that says, yes, Lord, I will do it because You said, Your divine word says to do it. And we will close ourselves behind closed doors, and our families will see, and our church will see that we are faithful to the spoken word into our lives, oh Lord. Because we've come to understand that our encounter with you, Lord, is not just about the present, but it's about what you want to do through us, oh God. Father, help us, Lord, to say amen and to embrace. Help us, Lord God, to keep the teaching dear to our hearts as we, Lord, grow in maturity and in your will, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you're here today.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.